Thank you. We continue this morning in our study of the parables of the kingdom. You have in your bulletins the brochures for this evening's K groups. We're going to again look this morning at the subject of stewardship. We are continuing to receive your pledges for our annual deacon's budget. Now, we find many of the principles of biblical stewardship right here in our Lord's parable of the talents. This parable talks about talents as money, I suppose, but the teaching of this parable is much broader. Talents really refer to all of our assets. I'm going to be using the term this morning, kingdom assets, to refer to all that we have and all that we are. My tangible kingdom assets include all that I have: bank accounts, stock portfolios, pension accounts, houses, automobiles, even time. My intangible kingdom assets, on the other hand, include all that I am, like my intelligence, spiritual gifts, skill, experience, physical strength, health, ability. Our text for our study this morning is in Matthew 25. We're going to be looking at verses 14 through 30. I'm going to kind of do something a little bit different this morning from usual. We're going to read sections of that as we work our way through this parable. But before we do that, let's pray together. Father, as we come now to your word, we pray that you would cause that word in our hearts to be living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. Come and do that by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we would be those who are not only hearers of your word, but doers as well. For Jesus' sake, amen. The first principle of biblical stewardship involves the differential distribution of kingdom assets. Here we're looking at verses 14 and 15. Verse 14 begins, "For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away." Number one, the distribution of these kingdom assets takes place according to the master's practice. The master here, it says, is a man going on a journey. Since he's going to be away, he's concerned about the care of his assets while he will be gone. And so he called his servants and he entrusted to them his property. Well, how does he convey that property? How does he transfer his property to his servants? The end of verse 14 says he entrusted to them his property. Transfer of the property from the master to the servants was not a gift. It was not a loan. It was a trust. He entrusted to them his property. These servants, therefore, do not become owners of the master's property. They are not borrowers who can use these assets for their own purposes. But these servants are trustees who manage these assets for the good of the master. Now, another word for trustee, of course, is our word steward. One who manages somebody else's assets for the good of that somebody else. Biblical stewardship begins with the master's practice as he entrusts his kingdom assets to his servants to manage for the good of the master. And then biblical stewardship reflects the master's privilege. To one, it says, he gave 5 talents. to another two, and to another one. The talents are not equally distributed. Everyone does not get the same amount of kingdom assets entrusted to them. In other words, life is not like some giant monopoly game where everybody has counted out the same number of $500 bills, $100 bills, $50 bills, and so on. Now, we might not like this unequal or differential distribution of kingdom assets, and in fact, in some ways, we might rebel against that. Some of us, at times, will covet what our neighbor has. There are those who might even steal what their neighbor has. Some of us become, I guess, what we call workaholics, and we try to change somehow with our own increased effort this unequal distribution of kingdom assets. But some of us eventually bow the knee, and we recognize that this distribution is the master's privilege. Apostle Paul came to this point in his own life, and we read it in Philippians 4. He says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. He says, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. We tend to forget about the master's practice. And we begin to think of these kingdom assets as our own. And then we might also rebel against the master's privilege and become discontent somehow with our lot in life. Finally, we learn here of the master's prudence. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his ability. The differential distribution of kingdom assets is not random. It's not according to the luck of the draw or the spin of some cosmic wheel of fortune. Some of us would like to believe that we have earned or deserved our share of these kingdom assets. But God says right here that these assets are distributed to each according to his ability. You hear that? Do you have a problem with that? Not only is there an unequal distribution of assets, what he's saying here, there is an unequal distribution of ability as well. Now you understand what that means. Contrary to our Declaration of Independence, all men and women are not created equal. Now, if you weren't born yesterday, that shouldn't come as a complete surprise to you. All men and women are not created equal. But all men and women are created responsible. Responsible to the one who created them. Kingdom assets are distributed, God says, on the basis of ability. And that ability comes from God. And in His prudence, in His wisdom, God knows where that ability is. He knows who can handle this asset or that asset. He knows best where He wants to use you or me in His kingdom. And so no one of us ought to serve beyond his or her ability in that kingdom. Unless we've sought a position in the kingdom for selfish reasons. Now, in organizational theory, we come across a theory known as the Peter Principle that says people rise to their level of incompetence in any organization. That ought not to be true in the Church of Jesus Christ. The Master distributes His kingdom assets according to His sovereign plan. One gets 5 talents to manage for the Master's benefit, another 2, and another 1. And then it says he went away. Now, the immediate context of this parable is that Christ is about to leave His disciples here on earth. But application of this parable can be made to every one of us as His people until He comes again. Entrusted with kingdom assets, the Master servants begin the process of the individual investment of those kingdom assets. Verse 16, he who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more, but he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Well, we'll notice a couple of things from those verses. First of all, individual investment is not conditioned by individual resources. The 5-talent guy, the 2-talent guy, both, it says, put their money to work and proceeded to double their investment. And so amount is not a barrier to our kingdom investment. Notice that we don't read in here that the 2-talent guy kind of sat on the sidelines and wondered why he hadn't gotten 5 talents. He put his money to work and he gained 2 more. But it's the 1-talent guy who seems to have a problem. We might think of him as sort of the ordinary guy. He might be this middle-class American that we keep hearing so much about. He might be the common man. You see, kingdom investments always involve, at least seem to involve to us, a certain amount of risk. Now, risk ought to cause you and me to look to the Master for help. Like Paul, doing all things through Christ who strengthens us. But you see, this 1-talent guy, this ordinary guy, well, he seems to be kind of looking out for himself. He's tempted, if you will, to play it safe. Maybe he's thinking in this way, let those big spenders, the ones with all the gifts, the ones with all the talents, let them carry on the work of the kingdom. The investment, the use of our kingdom assets should not be conditioned by the amount of those assets, but rather individual investment ought to be conditioned by our sense of individual responsibility. It says that our 1-talent friend dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Don't you suppose he thought he was being responsible? But who is he really trying to look out for? Who is he trying to protect? Himself or his master? You see, he was primarily looking out for himself. He was trying to safeguard himself rather than invest the master's assets for the good of the master. Most of us are very careful when it comes to taking a risk, and we tend to act as if these assets belong to us and not to the master. And so we put aside some of our kingdom assets and we label them restricted. Restricted for my retirement. or my vacation, or my kids' college education, but sometimes just restricted for me. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do this. There are plenty of biblical directions that we are to care for our families. And it's biblical for us to make plans, even including financial plans. But in James 4, we are cautioned not to leave God out of those plans. How safe are your investments? Do you really know how long your retirement will be? Do you really know the kind of resources that you're going to need in retirement? As far as I know, there's only one person that knows that, and that's God. Who knows whether I'm going to be sick or well? Who knows what's going to eventually happen to this economy? I listen to people on the television like you do, and it doesn't appear to me that anybody knows. Who knows what's going to happen to the financial markets? Only God does. And so God says, your first responsibility, my first responsibility, should be to Him. We manage the Master's assets for the benefit of His kingdom. We are to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and then God promises all these things, you know, like food and clothing and shelter, all these things will be given to you as well. You and I could dig 100 holes in the ground. We could hide the Master's assets in all kinds of diversified accounts, and it wouldn't be enough. You can't put enough away, and I can't put enough away if we are trying to take care of ourselves. But when His kingdom is your first responsibility, your first priority, then He promises to care for you. And His care will always be more than enough. The Master has distributed His kingdom assets to every one of His servants. How are you and I handling those assets? Are we trying to store them up here on this earth, where Jesus reminds us that moth and rust, and I guess today we would add the volatility of the market, destroy those assets? Or where thieves or other so-called natural disasters can break into your life and steal them? Or are you storing those assets in heaven? Investing what He has given you, all that you have and all that you are, in His service. The proper investment of your kingdom assets is so very important, because the earnings on those investments are eternal. As we read in the parable, the Master is going to return one day from His journey. There will be, the Bible says, a day of reckoning. Romans 14, each of us will give an account of himself to God. And on that day, your faithfulness will be rewarded. Verse 19. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Notice in that last verse, verse 23, the master's reward involves 2 things. Additional responsibility and a share in the master's joy. The master's reward is identical for both the 5-talent guy who now has 10 and the 2-talent guy who now has 4. Even the words of verses 21 and 23 are exactly the same, word for word. Faithfulness on the part of his servants is rewarded. But on the other hand, foolishness is rebuked. Verse 24, he also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast this worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow. This 1 talent guy exhibited real foolishness. Foolish action to take that talent and hide it in the ground. But you see, his foolish action is compounded by his foolish attitude. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man. Don't you wonder, when you read this, where he got that from? There's no indication, as I read this parable of any hardness on the part of this master. In fact, it says he had sown and scattered his assets to at least 3 different servants. Doesn't sound very hard to me. And then even more importantly, we need to take note of the one who is telling the parable. Remember when we started this study? One of the things that we said was the parables are all about the one who tells them. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who is telling this parable. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who completely fulfills the role. He is the master. And the master not only distributes his assets to his servants, but this master gives himself first of all. And so there is never any such thing as risk when we invest our kingdom assets for the good of this master and his kingdom. Because you see, this master first gave himself to us. This master already took the risk for us. This master made the ultimate sacrifice for you and for me. Romans 8, verse 32, He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? you and I might kind of laugh at this man who buries money in the ground. But you see, when you and I don't invest kingdom assets in the master's service, it's just as foolish as burying them in the ground. From the master comes a rebuke for this one who is foolish, this one who's trying to play it safe. You see, our kingdom assets cannot be considered discretionary income, free to be spent or invested anywhere that I might feel like it. How we treat our kingdom assets always has eternal consequences. This master would have been happy, even if there had been a safe investment. But you see, there was really no investment. This wicked, lazy servant tried to keep the whole thing for himself. Remember our first point this morning? We do not receive these kingdom assets as a gift or a loan, but rather as a trust. We do, however, receive something from the master as a free gift, and that's eternal life, a free gift. And he will never, ever take that gift back from us. Have you received this free gift of eternal life from the master? You haven't done that. That's where it all starts. We don't talk about stewardship to someone who has not put his or her trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you haven't done that, let me invite you. He's not a hard man. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just and will forgive your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Trust Him. Put your faith in Christ. Many of us here this morning have already done that. If you have a saving relationship this morning with Jesus Christ, hasn't the Lord indeed given you all things along with His own Son? We've been referring to these all things this morning as kingdom assets. All that you have and all that you are. How have you invested those kingdom assets in the King's service? We understand from our catechism that the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Let me ask you, what's the chief end of your life? What's the focus of your free time? Where does your mind go when you're kind of involved in idle thoughts? What about your discretionary spending? How have you invested your kingdom assets? Financial counselors usually tell us that we're to make a regular inventory of our investments. Many of us, and I've heard you tell me this, and I've been practicing this myself, many of us have not even opened up our pension fund reports lately. We just don't want to look at them. But God calls us to make an inventory of how we have invested these kingdom assets. He says in 2 Corinthians 9, each man should give what he has decided in his heart. That means we're to think and pray about our giving. What he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. One of the great joys and blessings for many of us has been to give generously to the Lord's work. Let me ask you this morning a very practical question. How much of your kingdom assets should you invest in the Lord's work right here at First Presbyterian Church. Many of us, myself included, have other Christian ministries that we are also interested in and that we contribute to. But dear people, this church, First Presbyterian Church, is the focal point for your worship, for your service, for your nurture, for both you and for your family. And as I've thought about that over the years, I've kind of developed a rule of thumb. I can't point to a particular scripture verse for this, but it's been my practice now to give the tithe, at least 10% of my income, to the general budget. Here we call it the deacon's budget of my local church, which in this case now is this church, First Presbyterian. My offerings, which as I understand them are over and above the tithe, go to other opportunities both inside and outside this local church. I know that we are in the midst of a recession. How could you help but? We hear that all the time. We're in the midst of two wars. There is economic uncertainty. There will always be some form of economic uncertainty. You and I might be tempted in these days to back off a little as we consider the investment of our kingdom assets and our commitment here at First Presbyterian. I've seen at least preliminarily the financial summary at the end of this fiscal year, which ends in just a couple of days. Might be that some of us have backed off a little too much. But we're tempted, aren't we, in these days of national uncertainty? Tempted to play it safe. Tempted to hold some back in case the market crashes, the terrorists come back, or perhaps I get laid off from my job. But when you're tempted to think that way, and when I'm tempted to think that way, we need to remember this guy who dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. We need to remember soberly, I think, what the master said to him. Let's review our kingdom asset portfolios. And as we do, remember God's investment advice that we've studied here this morning. God says the earnings on your kingdom investments are eternal. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for our sakes he became poor, so that we through his poverty might become rich. Father, we are rich. Rich in the grace that we have in Christ Jesus, and rich materially as well. Father, help us as we consider investing those assets in the work of your kingdom here at First Presbyterian. Give us your grace and your help and your strength as we do that. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let's stand for the benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.